You know that I'm not most of the house.
Where the discussions come from that I've never really understood.
I'd like to call to order the February 1st meeting of Energy, Utilities, Technology, and Communications Committee. And as I look around the room, there are lots of smiles out there. So I know that we've been through a grueling process, but I think that people are maybe relieved, but satisfied perhaps. We do have a bill before us today, Senate File 4, Senator Anderson's bill on public utilities, renewable energy standards. And so we will be working off of Senate File 4. And I would also like to note that we do have a quorum here today. And I'm going to pass, excuse me, the gavel over to our Vice Chair, Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And, Mr. Chair, I have the A-15 amendment.
You'd like to read that to us, Senator Prettner-Solon?
Well, I think I'm not going to read it, but we'll pass it out. I think everybody here knows it by heart, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, I think someone's actually setting it to music.
Someone's actually setting it to music.
Thank you. And because you already know it by heart, I'm going to have I'm going to ask Mr. Chair if Mr. Fuller would please walk us through this amendment.
Mr. Fuller.
Mr. Chair, members, this is the A-15 amendment. It has many variations, so you're familiar with many of the provisions, but I'll go through them in the order of pages. The first change is to the definition of eligible energy technology, which is the renewables that qualify to satisfy the objective. Sorry, wait till it's down.
Are there not enough amendments?
Yeah, it's like we're working our way around the room with them.
No.
Madam Chair. Mr. Chairman, members, so the threshold above which eligible hydropower can go is raised from 60 to 100. So if you have a hydropower facility of over 100, it doesn't count. Under 100, raised 40 megawatts. Without limitation, anaerobic digester systems, the methane digesters, and landfill gas are included within the definition of biomass. Line 14 and 15 repeals the exclusion of the Prairie Island mandated renewable energy that was imposed on Xcel. You'll see later on that Xcel has a separate standard that contemplates this new counting. On line 1.30 to 3.1, good faith objective is now 7%. It was earlier 5, even though it shows in 10, so that was an increase of 2% over what was in the bill. And there's a transition to the standard in 2010, so actually Xcel has a good faith objective of 7 and a standard of 12 in 2010, or 15 in 2010, so that's understood. Their standard is 15. Subdivision 2A contains the new standards. There's two sets of standards. Paragraph A on line 2.8 applies to all non-Xcel electric utilities that are otherwise covered by the Act. And you can see the different numbers. The numbers before the final total are called the milestones or the ramps. And those have been increased over earlier versions. There's a 12% ramp in 2012, a 17% ramp in 2016. It was 15 in 2015, and then the last two have remained consistent, 20% in 2020, 25% in 2025. And paragraph B applies to a nuclear generating facility owning utility, which is Xcel. And their numbers are on page, or lines 27 to 30. 2010, 15%, that's their standard. 2012, 18%, 2016, 25%, 2020, 30%. On lines 2.31 to 3.2, you can see that of that 30%, an absolute 25%, not 25% of 30%, but an absolute 25% has to be wind energy conversion systems, windmills. And then the remaining 5% of that 30 can be other eligible energy technologies. The next subdivision is what have been referred to as the off-ramps. And you'll see that the commission shall modify or delay the implementation of a standard, not the standard itself, but the implementation of a standard obligation in whole or in part, flexible. They can make that decision from 0 to 100 if the commission determines it's in the public interest to do so. And then there's 7 criteria listed that they should specifically consider. If it's under Clause 1 and 3, which is the rates, the customer costs, the technical feasibility and reliability, they can only delay or modify the implementation if the implementation would cause significant rate impact, requires significant measures to address reliability, or raises significant technical issues. And then there was the 3 set that I believe was in the, what's called the Munis bill, which was availability of equipment, regulatory delays, and transmission constraints. And those are in there, but those can only be considered if they were due to circumstances beyond the control of the particular utility. So if they did not use due diligence to proceed to meet their standard, even though there were transmission constraints or equipment unavailability, that would not be caused to delay or modify the standard. On lines 3.15 to 3.18, this is significant. When the commission considers whether to modify or delay implementation of a standard, the commission must give due consideration to preference for electric generation through use of eligible energy technology, the renewables, and to the achievement of the standards set by this section. So you have a balancing test. Even if those other factors are found, you still balance it against the preference for renewables and achieving the standards to determine where the public interest lies. And then clause on 3.19, the process would be that if a utility came into the commission and requested a modification or delay, they would at that same procedure have to furnish a plan that would bring them into compliance. So the process is, if you don't think you can meet your standard, you come before the commission. You bring in a plan. The commission determines the public interest using these criteria, and if they do decide to delay or modify it, you also have to have a plan to meet that ultimate standard that they approve. Subdivision 2C has been in there. It basically clarifies that it's the intent that ordinarily the integrated resource planning process, wherein the utilities specify their plans to meet their generation needs and other needs, will be the primary forum for deciding the issues of delay or modification, because that's a very appropriate process to use. Furthermore, the commission can use other forums if it wants to. It's not exclusive to this, but this seems to be the most convenient and economical and efficient. The next subdivision is technical changes. Mostly get rid of the weighted scale that has never been implemented. The commission had the authority to say some renewables counted more than others. They thought that was not a good idea. Repealing that, subdivision 3, 4.7 to 4.26, technical changes to accommodate other changes in the bill. On 4.27, subdivision 4, the renewable energy credits, the various stakeholder groups did a lot of work on this, made it clear that the renewable credits that can be used can only represent those that would be eligible for complying with the Minnesota, under Minnesota law, for complying with the Minnesota standards. And then the commission has to, by rule or order, implement a system or a program by 2008. There are some details left to the commission, and you can see that on 5.14 to 5.16, that the commission is going to establish protocols for trading credits. And then on 5.17, an electric utility subject to subdivision 2A, paragraph B, that's Excel, may not sell renewable energy credits to an electric utility subject to subdivision 2A, paragraph A, all the other utilities. The concern was that they're so far ahead of the game, or they may be, that they might be able to market a lot of credits and other utilities could buy them. We would not engage in the construction of renewable facilities, and that's part of the agreement. Subdivision 6, all the stricken language, beginning on 5.30, running to the middle of page 6, 6.19. That's the old law that provided special conditions on Excel. And since we're now treating them as far as counting renewables as any other electric utility subject to law, this was repealed, and they were given different numbers than the other utilities to accommodate the fact that they're ahead of the game. Compliance. There's really no new language. Again, the thought is that the first step is they come in and they have a plan. If it's modified or delayed, they're in compliance. If they're in compliance with that modified or delayed standard, implementation of a standard. If they're if they don't have a plan that the commission finds appropriate and they find them non-compliant, then the commission has a toolbox they can use to issue orders to purchase energy, purchase credits, construct facilities, or any other activities they think that will lead to compliance. If at that stage they don't comply with the order, there is the authority to issue a penalty that's in the sum up to the sum of compliance. So the thought is won't be too many penalties collected. The only new thing here is local benefits. It's just a direction to the commission on how to implement the law and try to achieve some of the economic benefits to Minnesota that's contemplated. Section 2 is, since there's a transmission off-ramp, there was thought that would be a good idea to get an obligation to do some planning, very precise planning on how to obtain the transmission facilities necessary to transmit the energy generated by these renewable facilities. And there's a report back at the end of this year in November on what the strategies will be to get that transmission up and running. And then the repealer is a repealer of the green pricing law. I think we talked about that before. Mr. Chairman, that's the amendment which would become the bill if it's moved and adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Senator Prettner-Solon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to speak briefly to the bill, mostly to the process, or to the amendment, excuse me, and then let Senator Ellen Anderson talk about her amended bill or the amendment and whether or not she wishes to accept the amendment. But as I look around the audience, there's hardly anybody in this room that wasn't a part of building this amendment. And I want to thank everybody for the hard work that went into this. It certainly was a joint effort, and it took literally well over 100 hours. Maybe it was 200 hours. I can't remember anymore. I certainly haven't slept much in the last 3 weeks, and I don't think many of you have either. I know that it doesn't satisfy everybody. I know that it is a stretch for everybody. What I do know about it, it is that there are people here that are willing to help us set a standard for Minnesota that is higher than any other state in this nation, and that this is something that we are willing to work toward and will be putting some effort into. I am very proud of the work that has gone into this. I am very proud of the standards that we are setting, and I appreciate everybody's support in working toward this. I know that it was difficult, it was tense at times, and I realize nobody really got what they wanted out of this, but that's probably what happens in negotiations most of the time. At the same time, what came out of this is that the stakeholders who are involved, with the exception of one municipal utility who is not able to support this, have agreed on the language and have agreed that they will not offer amendments, they will not lobby against it, and that they will advocate for this position in the other body also. So I'm hoping that we have a good, solid bill that we can move forward. And I thank you all.
Senator Pretner-Solon. Senator Anderson, did you have some things you wanted to add?
Senator Pretner-Solon, do you want to move the amendment first, or shall I?
I'm sorry. I thought I did move the amendment. And at this time, Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask Senator Anderson if you can accept the A-15 amendment.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Pretner-Solon. This is very significant, and what I'd like, I do support the amendment, and I hope others will as well. And it's been a long road. Senator Rosen and I were talking, and she said it would be nice to hear the history. Will people indulge me for about 2 minutes? Or is that too much? Is that more than we want to hear today for the members of the committee? And so if it's okay, I just want to just kind of point to a few milestones along the way, because this has been a really long process to get to this. And I guess I'm feeling more emotional than I thought I would be. It has been a very difficult process. And I guess the first thing I should say is, Madam Chair, we owe you a lot of thanks. And I appreciate how hard you've worked to get us a compromise here. And I didn't think it could be done. But I think we have done it, and I think this is a bill that we can be extremely proud of. I have to start, you know, in 1994, we passed the very first renewable energy and wind mandates in the state of Minnesota, and it was in the context of nuclear waste storage and lots of other issues that were quite contentious. But I think probably a lot of us who were at the table then didn't realize what the impact of those first renewable energy mandates and wind mandates would be. But I think what they have done is helped Minnesota's wind industry go from its infancy to where it is now, which is to be a thriving and competitive industry that has really opened everyone in our state's eyes to what we can do with renewable energy in this state and what a gold mine we're sitting on and what potential it brings us in this state. And so that happened over a period of 10 years or so. And so we've gone through some other steps since then. In 2001, 6 years ago, I introduced my first renewable energy standard bill, which was a 10% renewable energy standard requirement. I convinced Senator Metzen to put it in his energy bill that year, and the Senate passed it as part of an omnibus energy bill. We went to conference. The House wouldn't accept it as a standard, and that's when the REO was born and created as a good faith objective. That was a compromise between the House and Senate, and it called for the law to start in 2005. So the renewable energy objective just took effect 2 years ago and called for the utilities to make a good faith objective to add 1% a year. So we'd be at 10% by 2015. And I think it was in 2003 I introduced my first 20% renewable energy standard. And for members who weren't here last year, we had a very, very vigorous debate about this in the Senate last year. Unfortunately, the House wasn't able to have that debate, and we know they will now. But the Senate did pass that 20% renewable energy standard bill last year, and I think it really helped. All of these steps have queued us up for where we are today. And so what does this bill do? Senator Pretner-Solon is correct. It's not 100% of what I've been asking for and what a lot of people have been asking for, which is 25 by 20% standard, a very, very aggressive standard. But I also agree with Senator Pretner-Solon. I think if we pass this bill as written here today, this will be the strongest renewable energy standard law in the country. And, I'm getting emotional. That's really something to be. We should be cheering about. That is something to be very proud of. The with Xcel at 30% by 2020 and the other utilities at 25 by 2025, that's about half and half, and so that very roughly averages out to 25 by 20, and so it's fairly close to actually what we were aiming for. It just sort of spreads the workload around among the utilities a little more than we had in mind. I think also members should understand that these ramp-up dates starting in 2012, they actually start in 2010 under the objective, are extremely significant. And I think someone said I shouldn't say out loud what this actually requires because everyone might run screaming out of the room and change their mind. What it requires is that right now under current law, utilities need to be at 2% under the REO. But what we're saying is 9 years from now, XL will be at 25%. And 9 years from now, all the other utilities will be at 17% renewable energy. That is awesome. And I think, you know, we can argue, and we did argue day and night for hours and hours about what the exact numbers need to be. But I think that a bill this strong will have the impact of getting all that transmission on the ground and getting all of our utilities working as hard and as fast as they can to get this done and really stretching themselves as far as they can. And if it doesn't, we'll be back. And if it goes too far, if they can't do it, we have very adequate protection in this bill for everybody involved. And so I'm going to support this bill as is, and I'm going to commit to supporting it, and I hope everyone else will as well. And I'll be really, really proud when it's signed into law. The last thing I have to say is, I think that those who are disappointed about this have agree with me that the issue of global warming is at such a level of urgency that we have to do everything that's in our human power, and we have to do it now. And a constituent of mine emailed me last night and said that she believes the next generation will judge this generation by how we respond to the challenge of global warming. And I think she's right. And I think this bill is a really important piece of us leading. But I think our work won't be done after this bill either. So we have a lot more work to do, members, and I look forward to working together. And with that, I support the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Senator Prentner-Solon?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I also would like to thank Senator Anderson for holding to her principles and those strong beliefs that she has. Those strong beliefs that she has and keeping us directed in a direction that we can be proud of and making us work hard to come up with agreements that people feel proud of. So, Senator Anderson, you've been a strong leader in this policy. You've been a strong leader for many years, even before this committee started to address this issue here. Thank you. I also have to extend thank you to the governor's office through Mike Bull and Ed Garvey and Josh Gagel for also showing some leadership and helping us to work out an agreement. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Prentner-Solon.
Mr. Chair, I...
He should just not take the minute. You move that.
Okay. Mr. Chair, at this time, I would renew my motion to adopt the A15 amendment, and I would call for a roll call vote.
Mr. Chair.
Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I do have an amendment.
Senator Vanderveer. Well,
there's an amendment on the table.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I think we have to adopt the amendment before we can entertain other amendments.
She can amend.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right. Senator Vanderveer.
Is it in order to offer the amendment now?
Yes.
Okay. Members, the governor has shown great leadership by giving the legislature a laudable goal, the result of which is to protect the state's economic security by moving us toward true energy independence. I agree with that goal and believe that we need to be aggressive if we are going to be successful. So my amendment would be on the A15 amendment to Senate File 4, page 2, line 16, delete 17% and insert 18%. And I would ask for a roll call.
Is there any discussion on the amendment to the amendment? Senator Pretner-Solon?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Vanderveer, to your amendment. It's laudable that you would support a higher standard at the same time. I know that it has been very, very difficult to work out the agreement that we have, one that everybody is willing to support. And there, as a result of the negotiations, we know that we have stretched people as far as we believe that we can stretch them. I, at this time, would not support that amendment.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Vanderveer. And I also appreciate your strong support for the strongest bill possible. And I, of course, I share your goal, and I would love to vote for your amendment, but about an hour ago I made a commitment, and I'm going to keep my word, and I would ask members to vote your amendment down because we have an agreement, and it's been very, very hard fought to get here, and I'd really like to ask everyone to try to work together to make that happen.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Any other further discussion? Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm remembering, I'm having memories of my service in a different body 4 years ago where we offered amendments like this and made roll call votes in committee just for the purpose of getting people on the record to make claims at some point in the future about who was a better environmentalist or who was more for education or who was more for transportation. And I feel like that's the spirit in which an amendment like this has been offered. This is a strong bill, and it's a very strong bill that serves our environmental purposes, it serves our economic purposes. It's the product of hard-fought negotiation. It reminds me a lot of the Mercury bill last year, which was also the product of very, very hard-fought negotiation, which happily was passed unanimously. And I would hope that we honor the negotiation and see this bill for what it is and reject an amendment like this, which I think, I question its spirit, and we move on and hopefully get to unanimous support for this.
Senator Anderson?
You know, Mr. Chair, I wonder if Senator Vanderveer would consider withdrawing his amendment. And I think, I don't think it's appropriate to ever question the motives of any amendment. But I think it's clear that it would force those of us who feel the most strongly to vote against what we believe in. And I don't see the purpose of that, except I would ask that, as a courtesy to the other members of this committee, you would consider withdrawing your amendment.
Senator Vanderveer.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Dibble, I do recall serving in the same body, and I don't recall it ever being appropriate to question members' motives, and I think that is quite insulting. But this is a different place. I can see that, and I've had that experience already. I do think that we need to be aggressive on this issue, and I understand what you're saying about negotiations, but I don't recall being in any negotiations. I don't recall being part of any negotiations. And so I'm a little confused as to why I'm supposed to accept those results. But apparently that seems to be a given or an assumption that that is going to occur. And I just find it curious that the assumption is that I would, regardless of what my desire is, be expected to accept the results of these negotiations that you're talking about. However, in spite of my tendency with regard to Senator Dibble's comments not to do so, I will withdraw the amendment.
Mr. Chair, just let me apologize to Senator Vanderveer for
Mr. Dibble
questioning his motives.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this appropriate time to give more accolades and talk about the bill?
Certainly.
Okay.
The amendment.
Can you move it first?
Should we pass the amendment first?
Just move it. Then you got to have another motion to pass it to the floor.
Senator Rosen, maybe we could go with the vote at this point.
That'd be fine, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
The clerk will take the roll.
Senator Prentner-Solon.
Yes.
Senator Anderson.
Yes.
Senator Carlson.
Yes.
Senator Dibble.
Yes.
Senator Dahl.
Yes.
Senator Jungbauer.
Yes.
Senator Koch.
Yes.
Senator Olsen.
Yes.
Senator Rest.
Yes.
Senator Rosen.
Yes.
Senator Rummel.
Yes.
Senator Senjum.
Yes.
Senator Sharon.
Yes.
Senator Sparks.
Yes.
Senator Vanderveer.
Yes.
There being 15 ayes and 0 nays, Amendment A-15 is adopted. Is there any further discussion at this time? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I too, as the lead Republican of this committee, would like to express my congratulations to all of you in this room for the hard work that you put in. And I was at one of those working sessions, and I know you have put a tremendous amount of effort and trust into this bill. And I'd like to thank the governor's office for his work on this also. Senator Prentner-Solon, you've done an amazing job at bringing everybody to the table. And you've included us very well. I mean, it's been kind of a strange process. We would probably all agree to that. But the end product is amazing. And I just want to say a special thanks to Senator Anderson. We've been together on this for a long time. And I remember just a couple years ago, I got batted around pretty good in my district about having a renewables standard. But we stuck together. And your vision and your tenacious vision has been extremely right on and admirable. So I just want to say that I look forward to, I'm speaking for all the Republicans here, we're looking forward to the conservation talk and to our carbon talk. And it's a pleasure to work on this committee because we have an end product that we can be very proud of. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Rosen. Any other comments?
Oh.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And a special thanks to Mr. John Fuller for his tremendous work and his knowledge.
I agree. There is nobody that's worked harder than Mr. Fuller on this issue. Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, if there's no further discussion, I'd like to move that Senate File 4 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the Senate floor.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Any further questions or comments? Senator Dibble.
Thanks. Sorry, I didn't mean to steal the last word, Thunder. But Senator Rosen alluded to the conversations to come, and I really do view this this bill as kind of the start to the future discussions that you've queued up, Madam Chair, that we anticipate to have in the coming weeks on community ownership, on conservation and efficiencies and the like. And I actually think those bills both inform this bill, and this bill informs, you know, those efforts. And in fact, those may make what we're trying to achieve here easier. No doubt, we're going to have, you know, a lot of similar types of discussion and negotiation. Hopefully, we've set a standard and a pattern so that we can figure out how we can all arrive at some mutual understanding and agreement on those. But just want to tip my hat to Senator Anderson. I've also been observing her and a few times commiserating with her and having late-night conversations and exasperated hair-pulling sessions, pulling our own hair, not each other's hair. So this is great. This is a good moment for us. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments? Well, then would the We'll take the roll.
I'd ask for a roll call.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm supposed to ask
That's
for a roll
good
call.
Idea. Senator Anderson asked for a roll call. We'll have a roll call vote.
Is it right there?
Senator Prentner-Solon?
Yes.
Senator Anderson?
Yes.
Senator Carlson?
Yes.
Senator Dibble?
Yes.
Senator Dahl?
Yes.
Senator Jungbauer?
Yes.
Senator Koch?
Yes.
Senator Olsen?
Yes.
Senator Rest?
Yes.
Senator Rosen?
Yes.
Senator Rummel?
Yes.
Senator Senjum?
Yes.
Senator Sharon?
Yes.
Senator Sparks?
Yes.
Senator Vandeveer?
Yes.
There being 15 ayes and 0 nays, the amendment or the bill is adopted. Thank you.
Great.
Wow.
And there being no further business to come before this committee at this time, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Dan.
Hey.
Knock that one off.